The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Friday has arrived in the third week of the college football season. Not much to talk about, so we'll talk about next week when the SEC comes to town. A lot to do on the program, including a conversation later with Mark Stoops, head coach of Kentucky. They'll head to Auburn at this point next week. Georgia will be playing Arkansas, and the question, who will the quarterback be? Mike Griffith joining us. Always great to talk to Mike. So here we are, Mike. We talked to you about 2 weeks ago, maybe longer, when Jamie Newman opted out. You wanted to think about the situation. You wanted to ponder and get some more information. We welcome you back, and tell us what's going on.
Yeah, a lot of twists and turns. You know, after that first scrimmage, you know, Jamie had some concerns with the COVID-19. And so he opted out. You know, Jamie Newman came to Georgia to build his NFL draft stock and to play in a pro-style system. And, you know, I think when spring was canceled, it really kind of put him behind the eight ball in his ability to adapt to that system. You just can't get the same results off of Zoom calls. And so all of a sudden, you got the five-star transfer from Southern Cal, JT Daniels. His plane lands in Georgia in May, and now he's on campus. And, you know, to me, that was when the writing was on the wall as far as Jamie Newman goes. You start thinking, well, maybe he's not the guy after all. Otherwise, why would JT Daniels, with all the schools he could have gone to, why would he pick Georgia? Well, the answer was Todd Monken, of course. And why would Todd Monken want JT Daniels? Well, because he's a guy that's, you know, pretty adept, having gone to Mater Dei High School out there in California. It's a quarterback factory. There's four quarterbacks from that Trinity League in Southern California in the SEC right now, including, I think, the Alabama quarterback, Bryce Young, might have followed. So anyway, the writing was on the wall. So you go, okay, it's JT Daniels. Well, JT's knee has been a question mark. When's it going to get cleared? When's it going to get cleared? You know, last time we talked to Kirby Smart, still not cleared. Doesn't take a genius to figure this out. Kirby's got to get somebody ready. And if this quarterback, JT Daniels, isn't ready, and we don't know that yet, we're still waiting. We haven't heard from Kirby, but you got to have somebody ready for Arkansas. And Dwan Mathis is that guy. And it makes sense that Dwan Mathis is going to be that guy at Arkansas.
So tell us more about Dwan. We know he's got quite a resume. You feel very strongly. Who is he?
Fascinating. It's a fascinating story. I mean, right from the way he came to Georgia. So Dwan Mathis was going to the Ohio State. Like, he was committed and ready to be an early enrollee. And I caught wind of this. I mean, this is all when Justin Fields was talking about transferring. Kirby brought him to the bowl game anyway. But Ohio State's talking to Justin Fields about transferring. And Dwan Mathis, who's then the Ohio State commit, he catches wind of this. He's like, wait a minute. Justin Fields is trans. Ohio State, no. This is what the family tells me. They say, no, Ohio State said, no, they didn't. Dwan Mathis went to his early signing day in December of 2018 with two scholarship papers, Ohio State and Georgia. Ohio State said they were not recruiting Justin Fields actively. Dwan Mathis got on Twitter and saw that they were and signed with Georgia. He made one visit in 2017. That's the only trip. He took that leap of faith, Paul. So he looked great in the spring. He said, look at this guy. He's 6'6". He's 210. He runs a 10-800. You know, he got to like, you know, throws the ball 70 yards in the air. Yeah, a little raw, right? You know, maybe he hasn't had the most formal training. I mean, Oak Park's a very good high school program. But, you know, you look at this kid. And then May 2019, emergency brain surgery. Kid undergoes emergency brain ICU for 4 days, loses 15 pounds. And he's an afterthought through the season. Doesn't get to travel to any games. You know, he's just, you take it all away from him, and you're wondering what's going to happen to Dwan Mathis. He's, you know, 700 miles from home at Georgia. Kid sticks it out, stays here during the COVID-19, continues to train in Athens, gets a special exemption to stay at Georgia where his doctors are at, and keeps himself in the quarterback race. Newman opt out, Daniel's knee questionable. And here we got this Walt Disney World story about ready to play out in Arkansas in a week and a half. I think. Now, Kirby could throw a curve. You know, if Daniels is cleared, I don't know that. We're going to find out if Daniels gets cleared. But it just wouldn't make sense to me that if there's any remote chance, and if we're talking about a game-time decision, Why would you take that chance on Daniels against, let's be honest, a team like Arkansas that's probably not going to score more than 7 points, if that?
Well, we know Daniels has not been cleared. What is the current medical condition of Mathis?
He was cleared in May for contact. I mean, that's part of the, you know, obviously I just kind of skipped over the remarkable part. Wait a minute, the guy had brain surgery in May of 2019. He's getting ready to play an SEC game. Yes, they did cut his skull open. Mm. He has a metal plate and screws in his head. He's got to have a special helmet. They had to go to five or six different NFL teams on this kid. I mean, there's going to be a CBS special or ESPN special or ABC special on this guy. I mean, this is a great story. He got cleared in May, though, Paul. He got cleared in May for football contact. He'd been cleared to practice. I mean, he did some scout team stuff last October, November, and he went through the spring. But they don't hit the quarterbacks here. But he's going to be ready to knock heads in Fayetteville. He got that clearance in May. 1 year later, they do like that annual MRI to check out the work that was done when he had the emergency brain surgery on May 23rd of 2019.
Mike, with him at quarterback, let's take a fresh look at the Dogs this year. You know more than anyone what's your feeling. I mean, is this team good enough?
Well, you know, fresh is right. So let's just start with the premise that this is probably the best defense in the SEC. It was last year, and they bring back 8 starters. They bring back 80% of the production. So let's just start with that premise that your offense isn't going to have to, you know, outscore anybody. You know, efficiency is going to be the key. Don't turn the ball over. Don't give a short field. Georgia ain't going to have many teams drive 80 yards on them. I mean, the last 6 games of last season, they didn't give up more than a 40-yard play. LSU was the only team that scored more than 2 touchdowns in 1 game on them last year, and that was a remarkable time. So this offense, though, with Dwan versus, you know, air raid is why Munkin was brought here, but this guy can do it all. I mean, this guy's coached it all in different places. I think with Dwan, based on, you know, the limited amount of that I was able to see and know, they run a little bit more of a read option. You know, when you've got a guy that's 6'6", 210, runs a 10-800 like Dwan, I mean, this guy is really good on his feet. And then you got running backs like, you know, Zamir White and James Cook, Kenny McIntosh. You know, you've got some talent in your backfield. You've got a couple really reliable receivers like George Pickens, this freshman Jermaine Burton. I'm throwing a lot of names out there. But I think you're going to have an offense, though, that's going to be pretty efficient with some very explosive playmakers. And I think that kind of takes care of itself, provided they take care of the football.
Mike, you've had a pretty good chance now to study the schedule. It's a little bit different than we thought. We always knew about Alabama. We knew about Florida. As you see where everything lies, including the early game against Auburn, what are you thinking about?
Well, I mean, the offense is the question, Paul. I mean, how does Dwan Mathis do if he's the guy? Or how does JT Daniels do in the opener? What direction does this offense go in? I mean, I think, you know, and Kirby alluded to that. He said that at his press conference. These guys have different skill levels, and they do different things. So is Georgia going to be are they going to be the air raid, or are they going to be an efficient read option? I don't know that. I think that's yet to be determined. It's that fluid. And the reason people in Georgia are excited about it, most people be freaking out, it's like, because there's like, they're both good answers. And oh, by the way, they got this Carson Beck kid who was like Mr. Football in Florida and won a state championship at the largest level, and he's chopping at the bit. Aaron Murray said he thought he looked better than the other two in the scrimmage. So, you know, it's going to be, the offense is going to determine, you know, that's going to be determined by the quarterback. And you got to find out about JT Daniels' health before that Arkansas game, which I, even if, you know, and I don't know when or if he gets cleared, but if he does get cleared, I just wonder, I just think it's too close to the game. You know, that's why I lean on Mathis as the starter probably. But how does Dwan do? When does JT get cleared? Does he get cleared next week? Does he play in this game? Does he start? Does Mathis start? Does Carson Beck get in? So the offense is just a big question mark. But the defense, man, I'm telling you, Paul, this defense is it's the truth, man. This is the best. I'll say this. I'm going to go on record on this. On paper, this is the best defense that I've been around as a beat guy. And I saw an undefeated team at Auburn in 93 and an undefeated team at Tennessee in 98 and some Michigan State teams that were pretty awesome. This defense is unbelievable. The front is loaded. The linebacking core has got some playmakers. And the secondary, you know, again, 80% of the guys back from the team that led the nation in scoring defense last year.
Mike, before you go, you know, this is a talk show, and a lot of Florida fans feel like this is the year, and they talk roster management, and they go up and down, compare and contrast, and yeah, that's fine. I'm a talk show host. You swim in this thing every day. You know that Georgia roster. You know what other people's roster looks like. If you were, I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen from here on, but just comparing the rosters of Georgia and Florida, what do you think?
Well, I mean, this year, I mean, you know, it's hands down, you know, Georgia's got an advantage. But look, Florida didn't get in the end zone until the fourth quarter against Georgia last year. And I think they lost like three or four senior receivers and their running back. Why do I think that Florida is going to be any more effective against Georgia this year than they were last year? Here's the answer. I don't. I don't know why anybody would. Now, they were a vote pick when they had that schedule advantage, and they still do. I mean, shoot, you know this, Paul. There's three teams in the league. Maybe it's just a coincidence. There's three teams in the league that don't play back-to-back road games this year. All right? They're Lane Kiffin / Ole Miss, Alabama and Florida. Alabama and Florida don't play back-to-back road games. Everybody else in the league does. I mean, it just that's just the way the cookie crumbles. I'm not sitting here telling you that the league wants to see Alabama and Florida in the SEC championship game. I don't know that. But that's the way the schedule looks. So if there's a reason to pick Florida, it's probably that schedule. But I think Georgia is good enough. I think this Georgia defense is good enough, and particularly because I think they'll beat Florida head-to-head. You know, there's some scary games. Georgia's got to go to Alabama. You know, Tennessee's going to be loaded for bear. There's no question they're going to, you know, I don't think they're going to beat Georgia, but I think they're going to bruise them. I think Jeremy Pruitt's going to come after the quarterback. You can go back and turn that highlight on when Tennessee was throwing late in the game and Kirby threw a corner blitz and blew his quarterback up. I don't think Jeremy's forgotten about that and this whole Cade Mays fiasco. Now Jeremy's leaning on the SEC to get this kid eligible. And if Cade plays, you know he's going to have blood in his eyes when he plays against Georgia. Dad's got a $3.1 million lawsuit. So there's some hurdles. And Auburn's always, you know, Gus Malzahn is, you know, Kirby's not his favorite guy either. So there's plenty of obstacles and hurdles and bruises and bumps ahead for Georgia that they're going to have to endure.
Always great to have Mike on. Mike, come back soon. Thank you very, very much.
Appreciate it, Paul.
Mike Griffith there, pretty much proclaiming Mathis the starter, and the rosters between Georgia and Florida do not compare. Georgia, hands down. We will get your reaction to all of that, Mark Stoops, in a few minutes. Your calls next.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back, and Jeremy is up next in Georgia. Hey, Jeremy, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, I just want to say two things real quick, and I'm going to hang up and let you speak. The guy that you just talked to was talking about Georgia. The roster was hands down better than ours, how we just lost four receivers. Well, Copeland and Grimes is better than three of the four, and they're returning. And our offensive line will be a lot better with our running back, or our running back. And our last thing is, Georgia's done said Jamie Newman is a Heisman candidate, and JT Daniels is potentially a first round. Now they're on their third quarterback. I mean, they're running out of options.
Well, good news for Georgia, the season has not started yet. But hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's continue with Eddie in Florida. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you.
Hey, just calling about the quarterback situation in Georgia and Alabama. Hey, but the guy you just had on, man, what a homer, Paul. What a homer you just had on. Are you there?
Well, by the way, I mean, Eddie, we had a reporter on from Florida yesterday who said she thought they could go undefeated. So, usually when people cover teams, they tend to adhere to whatever those teams are doing.
Oh yeah, but let me just say this, Paul. I'm not a Florida fan. I'm Roll Tide through and through.
It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you. You know, reporters are reporters.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But I don't agree with most of the things he talked about. I don't like hearing about when defense, Paul. I just can't stand to hear somebody got an outstanding defense. The only way you're going to tell if you got a good defense, Paul, is when you go up against a good offense. You know that, right?
Well, sure.
So I look at Georgia. I look at who they played last year, Paul. Who did they play that had an offense other than LSU, Paul?
Remember the schedule. No, you're right.
They could talk all this smack, Paul, about defense. They didn't play anybody with an offense other than LSU.
Eddie, you understand this being an Alabama fan over the years. Alabama, when they were a defense first team, well, they've always been, but when they didn't have good offenses or good quarterbacks, especially back in the day, they didn't have to do very much. And I think Georgia adapted last year to that because they knew that, they almost got burned against Texas A&M, but they knew that it would take something heroic to beat them because how good their defense was.
Yeah, and also, Paul, they got issues at quarterback, and here's what I mean by that. I think they're going to have too many quarterbacks. I've never heard of this new guy that he's won to start. You look at who they got coming in, and then you got Beck. How are you going to play all of these guys?
Well, they don't have too many quarterbacks anymore because they lost one, and now they essentially have two really good players. There's a medical issue about one of them. But it doesn't matter.
If this guy Mathis is as good as they say he is, right?
Right.
All right, you still got the guy behind him, Beck, and you still got a five star coming in next year. Right?
Yeah, but Eddie, that's a problem that Kirby Smart has dealt with now for about 5 years, and we all know what's going to happen. Someone is going to leave.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So, and in reference to Alabama, I told you I was going to call earlier, and I said Bryce Young is going to be just as good as Tua or better.
I have not heard that yet from anybody who has seen him play. Potentially, you may be right. We have a guest on in about an hour and a half who is going to break down the Alabama QB situation. So I hope you'll stick around.
Awesome, Paul. Hey, I love your show, Paul, and you have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. It's been a busy one already. You heard our guest from Georgia. Joe Tess has been here. Sloan is in Charleston, and you are on the air. Hello, Sloan.
Thank you, Paul. Second time caller, first time through. I'm going to make it real simple. I'm for the University of South Carolina. I'm a Gamecock. I went there in the 60s and the early 70s. I was there when we got out of the ACC. I think they're a wonderful team. I hope they pay attention to all their wonderful opportunities. But first, isn't it wonderful that there's so much optimism around the SEC? We're all unscored upon. We're all untied. We're all no losses. Everybody's got so much enthusiasm. It's just wonderful. Can you hear me?
Sloan, you're right. It is the challenge of August every year. This year just happens to be mid-September where everybody is fired up. They can't wait to see how great their team is. And usually after a week or two of the season, it's like all of that gets winnowed out.
Exactly. Well, my points are two. My school colors are garnet and black. I hope it gets through to the coaches that they need to be adults and make sure the football players wear Garnett and Black. Not Garnett and Garnett or Black and Black. We're not Fresno State or San Diego State or San Jose State. We're the University of South Carolina. I recommend for this game, a night game, black pants, Garnett jerseys, and that we allow the University of Tennessee to wear their orange, because after all, the University of Tennessee was the one school to give us home and home when we got out of the ACC. So let's wear real uniforms. That's why I like LSU. They wear real uniforms.
Hey, thank None you very much. I just thought about it, and obviously everyone knows the, you know, 5-6 weeks ago when the SEC season was rebooted. But in talking to Mike a minute ago, normally the topic du jour would have been Alabama hosting Georgia. That game was scheduled for tomorrow night in Tuscaloosa. That's how crazy this year has already been. We would have been talking about one of the games, if not the game of the year in the SEC, the game we talked about throughout the entire offseason until. We are heading to a break. More guests will be joining us throughout the program, including Mark Stoops in about 30 minutes. Your phone calls continue as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. It is great to have you here. And we have bounced around the country because there is college football tomorrow, and our next guest will be out calling games. And it's always great to I've done his show so many.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better with the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit style pizza in the country. There's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time, but Mike Golic joins us. Mike, it is great to have you back. How are you?
It's great to be on this end, Paul, to be on your show. I look forward to this.
Well, I have, over these last 5 years, I've had a blast being on with you, and you had one of the greatest send-offs I've ever seen from somebody who did a show for nearly 25 years. I know that had to be emotional for you, but it also had to be heartening to know how many people truly love you and have followed you over the years.
You know, it had a little bit of everything, Paul. And certainly, you know, having my family there, especially for that last hour, was what I wanted, because, you know, that's the most important thing to me. And then Mike, really, I had no idea he was going to say what he said at the end, so that really got everything going there emotionally. So that was really awesome. And then hearing from, you know, so many listeners and viewers out there of what they felt, that was very, very humbling. So, I mean, that was one part. Then we had cake afterward and a lot of alcohol. So I hit the trifecta on that. It was awesome.
That's one thing, and I don't claim to know your family that well, but I have heard from your mom. I've heard from your wife. I know your son. So, I mean the Golics don't do anything halfway.
No, we do not. And especially they have no problem. I know my wife has gotten on you a little bit at times about Notre Dame stuff. And she can get pretty salty with some stuff.
Well, I want her to know that earlier this week we had Brian Kelly on. It was beyond civil. It was scary friendly, Mike. I don't know what's going on up there.
Well, it must be because they're in a conference now, right?
It must be because he could not have been nicer, and I kept checking to see if I was interviewing the right person, but apparently I was. Let's talk about your transition. It's not like you haven't done college football and pro football. You've done pretty much everything there is to do, but last week had to be a unique experience. I know the circumstances have been different this year in certain weeks. Tomorrow you do Tech and Southern Miss, but what's it like doing games again?
Well, I'll tell you, it's awesome. I mean, that's when I first retired from the NFL in 94, in 95, I started doing games for ESPN and ABC. And I did it all the way until even when the radio started and NFL Tonight, it was NFL Live now, it was NFL Tonight back then. I would do that in studio with Mark Malone, Sean Salisbury, Merrill Hodge. And then I would do radio, and then I would call college games. And I told them once my oldest, which was Mike, got to high school, I said I wanted to stop doing college games because I wanted to be around on the weekends for all the kids' activities. And I was fortunate enough to see all of Mike and Jake's high school and college games, all of Sydney's swim meets in high school and college, traveling everywhere. So that was great. But I've always missed calling games. And over the last couple of years, Mike and I have been able to call a couple of games together. We call the Pinstripe Bowl and a couple of other games. So it was nice to jump back in the booth. But, you know, once I was told, you know, the radio show was going to be over, you know, ESPN basically, I think just felt I could just hang out for the rest of the year. I was under contract, so I was getting paid either way until the end of the year. But I told them, I said, listen, I would love to go back if there's room to call college games again. I mean, that's one of the first loves that I've had. And they were like, yeah, that sounds great. So even though it's been a different situation, obviously doing it from the studio in Bristol, being able to call that game, and that, what a game, what an upset for Louisiana coming into Iowa State and getting the win. To doing the game tomorrow, which I'm doing, of, you know, La Tech and Southern Miss, and then next week I'm doing Notre Dame Wake Forest on ABC. So it's nice to get back in a groove again. And even though the radio portion of ESPN is done, and at the end of the year I guess you'd be a free agent, we'll see what happens, but I know I'd like calling college games to be part of my future still.
I'm too. I was once a really good reporter. I don't know if I am anymore. I'm going to come back to that nugget in a moment. But what was the circumstance? I was flipping back and forth. There were obviously two really good games going on, and I missed the donut. What was all that about?
Paul, you may or may not know this, but I like donuts.
Well, I've heard.
and I try and incorporate them into everything. And actually, it was Jason Fitz who, you know, is filled in many times as a host for sure. For Golic and Wingo. We've become great friends. He was in the building doing some stuff for college football, and he came over and wanted to give me a donut. And when he came over there, he basically ended up on camera. So I just kind of dragged him on camera as he was giving me the donut. And I would imagine for anybody who's known me over the last couple of decades, if they were to turn on a TV and see me eat a donut, there would be no other reaction but, oh, Golic's eating a donut again. Nothing new here. So it wasn't as surprising as people would have thought. And I may have a little more of a surprise coming tomorrow night on air that is not donut related, but something else sweet related.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I you know me moderately well. I've been in your studio. I've seen the sweets. I don't eat donuts. But I would think as you get deeper into the evening on a Saturday night, donuts are somewhat verboten, are they not? I mean, you have to go to something a little with a little more juice.
Donuts are never verboten in the Golic house. Okay. Donuts for dinner, donuts for breakfast, anything dessert type-ish, any time of the day or night in the Golic house is acceptable.
Okay, well, let me. I have been in this position, Mike, and I've done a horrible job. At any time I've been interviewed and someone asked me about something personally, it really I'm unnerved by it for some reason. But you said it. You said your contract is up and you will be a free agent. Those were your words. I know you want to enjoy the college football season, but what would you like to do next?
That's something my agent had told me. He said, you know, over these next couple of months while you're doing the games, you know, you're going to have to kind of decide, you know, what do you want to do? Because there's going to be opportunity out there. Do you want to go back to doing a daily radio or TV show? You know, do you want to, you know, do games on TV? Do you want to do games on radio? You know, how much do you want to do and what direction do you want to go? So that's still kind of what I'm trying to figure out. I haven't had this much time on my hands, Paul, and even before the 22 years of ESPN, even before that, like, I mean, starting the radio show, I was working for 4 years for ESPN doing the studio show and college games. So I've always been doing something, especially during football season. And then for the last 22 years, 4 hours every freaking day for, you know, all year. So this is kind of new to me. So I kind of am kind of getting a feel for, okay, what do I want to do? You know, do I want to do something every day? Is it for 4 hours? Is it for three, for two, for one, TV, radio? But I do know that I'd like games to be involved. I enjoy this too much. And listen, I'm 57. I'm older, certainly, than when I started this, but I'm not too old yet where I need to leave the business. I still feel I have a lot left to give. And a real passion for me is calling is college football and calling college games, maybe pro games. We'll see. But I always love calling college games. So no matter what I do, whether it's going back to doing the show again or not, I want to call games. I want that to be in my immediate future as well.
I'm paying very close attention to every single thing you say, but for a lot of reasons. But I have to ask you this, as someone who has done a show, a four-hour show every morning that starts at 6 a.m., maybe not the first day or two, but now it's been a couple of weeks. So, I mean, what's it like not to jump up that early, make your way to the studios and be on in front of the whole country?
Weird. It's been very, very weird, Paul. I get up in the morning now. I still kind of stir at 4:30. That's the time I would normally get up. But then I go back to sleep till 7 or 7:30. And it is still weird because normally I'm talking. I'm a gas bag at that point, you know, of the morning. And I'm still kind of getting used to not being. I actually, you know, our family, we do a podcast, sorry in advance, our Go With Family podcast. And under that, just the other day, I did my first solo podcast. I had never done one on my own. I've only been a part of other people's. And it was very weird. But let me tell you, Paul, it was very liberating. All of a sudden, it was just me and a microphone. And before I knew it, about 50 minutes went by of me just straight talking. And I'm like, man, this feels like the good old days now, you know, where I can just kind of get all my thoughts out there. So it is definitely weird. But the break is kind of nice. Truth be told, I'd rather still be doing it. I didn't want the show to end. I would much rather still be doing it right now, but I'm not, and that's the bottom line. But I do miss it. Now, would I go back to wanting to do 4 hours again? Well, that's something I'm going to have to decide, but I definitely miss it. Not just talking football. I so enjoy talking all the other sports, so there is a bit of a void now in the mornings, no doubt about it.
Well, I have to compliment you not only on your career, Mike, but you know, it can be awkward whenever these things end, and they always do. I mean, everyone acts like it, yep. It's not going to be me, and it will be everyone. But you handled it just like you do everything else. You were so transparent, you were authentic, and I know that's you. But it made it for us who knew you or who listened or watched, I think, easier to handle than some weird, bizarre, nobody's talking about it type of situation.
I have always been and always will be, Paul, someone who is very direct. If I, you know, need to speak with someone about something, I don't do it through media. I go knock on their office door, you know, or I call them up. And I'm a face-to-face guy, and I'm an out-and-open guy. Why did this happen? Well, I'm going to tell you why it happened. Tell me why this happened. Tell me why you're doing this. I'll tell you what I think or give you my thoughts as well. And that's never going to change. And I've tried to raise my kids, you know, the same way is listen, communication is the best thing out there. And sometimes there are things you don't want to hear. Listen, I said about my show ending, I didn't want it to end, but I also didn't want to get cut by the Houston Oilers and I didn't want to get cut by the Miami Dolphins. You know, what I want and what happens, that's life, man. You know, they're two different things. So all I've ever asked is if there's a decision made about me, tell me why you're making it. I may not like it or I may disagree with it, but at least, you know, be upfront with me. Tell me what's going on, and I'll tell you my feelings as well. I've always been that way, and that's something that'll definitely never change.
Well, I know you'll have multiple opportunities, and Mike, I know you're enjoying it. I hope you'll come back here as you make your way around the country covering college football. It's just such a pleasure to have you on here.
Paul, you need me, I'm there, man. I love going on you. I love talking with you, and I certainly love talking college football as well, so I look forward to it.
Thank you, Mike. All the best. Mike Golic, first time we've had a chance to talk to him since he left his legendary morning show, first with, of course, Mike Greenberg, and then the last couple of years with Trey Wingo. We will take a break. More to come on this very busy Friday afternoon. Back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.